Welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about another field trip, a Gita field trip, and we're going to be talking about India's influence around the world. Lou, are you there?
Yeah, and we were talking before we did this one about the last episode, the first Gita field trip, and it's all just fascinating stuff. It's just, this is going to be an endless and a fun and an informative and just fascinating side view to the Gita here. I'm looking forward to these.
So, friends, this was Lou's idea to come up with this name of a field trip. And it's like any kid who's in school who enjoys going out on a field trip, and the teacher designs it so that the kids have a little bit of an interest in something going outside the class and supplementing what they're learning in class.
Right.
But the kids just want to keep going on these field trips and forget about class.
Well, no, it's not quite like that. We've been working within the verses of the Gita, and that's fun and fascinating. We're going to continue to do that as we go. But sometimes seeing it more in a real world application and getting more quantifiable and getting your hands on it, getting your mind wrapped around it and how it actually plays out, you know, that can be a fascinating supplement to these things.
That's true. I'm just teasing, Lou. we'll come back to chapter 7 in our next episode. But friends, I would recommend highly, just so you get a little bit of the background, if you can go to the episode before this. What episode number was that, Lou?
That would be 76.
76. And in that, we talk about similarities between Krishna and Jesus, and we talk about the Gnostic Gospels and Christianity and
yeah,
Hinduism.
We're gonna do a field trip on the Gnostic Gospels too.
That's
something we have to dive into a little bit.
Yeah. So today we are going to be talking about India's influence around the world. Now, in brief, I said last time in the last episode that India had universities like that people from all over the world came to. Nalanda University was one. Takshila was another, that people came from all over the world to attend. And there are books and documentaries that Jesus Christ also came to India during the 13 years that nobody knew where he was. There are documents that have been found that show that he was in India, became a master yogi, and learned a lot of spirituality. That was in the year 3,000 years after the Gita was written. Mm-hmm. At the time the Gita was written, I was explaining in the last episode that there was major planetary shakeup. All planets were in a straight line, 3,101 BCE. And at that time, there was major earthquakes and the tectonic plates were shifted and the Saraswati River went underground. So there was no water. So the fields all became dry. There was a desert-like condition. Mm-hmm. The people who had lived in plenty at the time said, we need to get out of here. Now, they all started moving out. Some moved east. They went towards Japan, in the Far East, some of them, but the majority of them went westward. If you study the Mahabharata at the time, you will see that there were people for generations who had been brought up as warriors. Mm-hmm. Their family was taught all kinds of martial arts. They were taught to be strong. The whole purpose of life was to be strong and to be a warrior and to be a fighter. So they were taught martial arts skills.
Right.
And don't forget, karate and all of these various martial arts techniques began in India. I don't know if you knew that, Lou.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
they were further east.
No, they actually began in India, and when there were only two religions at the time. One was Hinduism, which is what we are studying from the Vedas and the Gita, and Buddha, Gautam Buddha, who was a Hindu, decided he didn't believe in certain things that the Vedas spoke about. So he actually wanted the Vedas to be burned. He said he didn't believe in various things, so he wanted them burned. So he started his own. He became self-enlightened. And
this is a reoccurring theme that we're seeing even today. Where
yes.
We're trying to get rid of beliefs that not everyone shares.
So he then started Buddhism. And then his followers became Buddhists. And the Buddhists and the Hindus clashed. And they actually, somebody said to me, but I thought both Hindus and Buddhists were very peaceful. They didn't fight. But at that time, they fought. there were wars between the Hindus and the Buddhists in India. And then the Buddhists left India to go to the Far East and up north towards China. And the Hindus went westward towards the Middle East, towards Scandinavia, towards Greece, towards Great Britain, and so on. And a lot of the Buddhists actually followed them, and there were wars where that took place. So we have to talk about each one of these things that I just mentioned in detail. There are, I have hundreds and hundreds of books on all of these things, and so much knowledge. It will take me years to talk about all of this. But what should I start with? So we were talking about them being warriors. So they were so strong. They knew martial arts. They were experts with swords. They were experts with bow and arrow. They were experts with throwing things, with wrestling, horseback riding, all kinds of things. So when they actually went to Greece, and this is written in a book by a man called Pocock, P as in Peter, O-C-O, C-K-E, P-O-C-O-C-K-E, Edward Pocock. And the title of the book, I think, is called India in Greece. And this was written a few hundred years ago. And he was one of the national historians for the Court of England. Mm-hmm. And he has done a very beautiful book with maps that shows how people from India left and went towards Great Britain, towards Germany, Switzerland, right. Greece, and set up over there. And when they set up over there, and you'll see that they took their names from India and the areas where they were, and they formed those same exact places in Greece. And one of the things they did was to form these Olympics. And he goes through the history of how the word Olympus came about. That's a long story about Olympus, but it started with their hometown in India, and why Olympus? And so they called it Mount Olympus, and then they, just like in India, wanted to wrestle each other and fight each other and see who is the fastest horse person. Yeah. So they formed the Olympic Games. And the whole book is fascinating. I can talk for years about that. But let me also quickly, I think we last time...
So Mount Olympus is drawn from the same derivation, right?
Yeah.
And so Mount Olympus is the foundation of Greek mythology.
Yes.
Yeah, so there must be all kinds of influence in Greek mythology as well.
Yeah, it's based, yeah. A lot of it is based on their origins from India.
Yeah.
So just as you're going to keep drawing me in, Lou, this is fine. This is an area of great interest and fascination for me. And as you can see, friends, this is not something that I've written down and prepared. But it's fascinating to me. I just hope I don't take too much of your time. But there was a tribe, one of the tribes of these warriors were called the Bhils, mm-hmm. B-H-I-L, B as in boy, H-I-L, Bhil. And they were fierce warriors. And the chief of any tribe or country was in India known as Pos, P-O-S, or Pes. P-E-S or P-I-S, PIS. So the chief of the Bhils was called the Bhilpos. Bhilpos was the chief of the Bhils. Now he was a warrior that was the strongest, best in all of the Bhils. And the Bhils were such phenomenal warriors that when he went into Greece and they settled down there, Pocock gives a great explanation of why the pronunciations changed. But Bhilpos then became Philippos. So if you know Philippos, Philip was the father of Alexander,
mm-hmm.
right? So Philippos, that was how he was known in Greece. Philippos, they said Philippos was from Hammon, H-A-M-M-O-N, Hammon.
Mm-hmm.
Hammon is another place in India, And so Philippos, or Bilpos of Hammon, became Philippos of Hammon. And when Alexander was born, he was born in a family of Bil warriors. And he got the best education as the best warrior. Did you see this movie with, what is it? Not Tom Cruise, the other guy, called Troy.
It's a
Yeah, you see him, the blonde guy. What's his name with the actor?
Brad Delp.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, right.
Yeah. Brad Pitt.
Brad Delp.
Pitt, yeah. Yeah, they show him as the phenomenal warrior. And Bill and the Bills, all of the Bills, as well as Alexander, were phenomenal warriors. And so when Alexander died, they put him in a coffin, and Alexander and Philip, they had swastikas all over their swords and their shields and Hindu mythology across various things. So if you see these photographs, and I have them, these photographs of these various things, you can probably look it up online. So what was your question? Oh, the Greeks, you said, you know, they have a lot of their mythologies based. Yeah, because they were originally from India.
So there's probably a lot of correlations between Greek mythological creature, mythological beings and you know, the Gita and the scriptures.
Yeah. So, you know, like for instance, the God is known as Hari, right? We keep talking about Krishna being Hari, H-A-R-I. Mm-hmm. And in Britain, there was the, you know, in India, they say Hari Hari. Hari Hari is there, like somebody has a bath and he's coming out and he's purified himself. He says Hari Hari. Mm-hmm. So the British then said Hurrah Hurrah or Hurray Hurray. Hip Hip Hurray, Hip Hip Hurray, Hurray Hurray came from Hari. And the Hari was a big name in Greece. And so the Kul, which is the family or clan, means Kul. The Pes or Pos of Hari's Kul was Herculis. So Hercules was the head of the Kul of Hari. So, and all of this is made clear in the book by Pocock. So it's fascinating to hear, but I won't, how much time have we used up already?
We're 12 minutes in.
12 minutes. Yep. Let me quickly talk about Sweden and Norway.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about the days of the week, and then we'll continue next time, next field trip.
Sure.
So I've read a lot about the where did these names come from, Norway and Sweden. Now, I've read articles that say Norway came from because it was north of Sweden. Norway is north, so Nor came from Norway. Norway came from the fact that it's north, or it's northward, or it's towards the North Star. I don't buy that. Because the original name of Norway is a British distortion of the name of Norway. The original Norway name is Norge, N-O-R-G-E. Mm-hmm. And the original name of Sweden is Sverige. If you go to any shipyard or a dock where you see these ships that come in from different countries, the Swedish ships are still known, marked S-V-E-R-G-E, Sverige. Mm-hmm. And the Norwegian ships are still marked N-O-R-G-E, Norge. Now, in Sanskrit, Norge and Sverga are the two words for hell, Norg, Nark, which in Hindi is called Nark. And Norge or Sverga is hell and heaven.
Right.
So it was a cruel or not so cruel way of describing Sweden and Norway, the Scandinavian countries, in Sanskrit, as heaven when it is spring and summer, because it's gorgeous over there, and in winter when it's dark and cold for 24 hours a day, it is really like hell. It's cold, it's dark, it's icy, and so on. So hell and heaven on the same thing, and named after the founding father who's the Lord Skand. Skand was the war god in India. He was a war god because he fought, and he had long hair, and he didn't bathe, and he had been given a boon that he was very, very strong, and he had these followers who were also like him, long crusted hair that never got combed.
Right.
And their strength was the Navy. And they went in the Navy everywhere. In fact, there was a story that there were two brothers, Skand, whose other name is Kartikeya, mm-hmm. and his brother, Ganesh. You've seen Ganesh,
sure.
the elephant god yep. with a head on his. They're both children, both sons of Shiva, Lord Shiva, God Shiva, and Parvati. And one time, the Skand challenged his brother, Ganesh. He says, I'll show you. He says, I've got a navy. He says, and I've gone around the world many times. He says, let's have a race around the world. And he said, fine, Ganesh. Now, Ganesh is, if you see, very heavy. He's got a big pot belly and fat. And he says, Onimark gets said, go. And he jumps on his ships and he disappears. And when he comes back, Ganesh hasn't moved from their house. And Skand says, I won. I came back. I went all around the world. And Ganesh said, no, I won. I went around the world. He says, I went completely around my parents who were sitting here in their chairs. I went around them. And that, to me, is my world. So I won.
Yes.
So symbolically, it's supposed to mean that Ganesh used his brains and his smarts. And he didn't actually go. And he won this argument because his world was his parents. And Skand went on the Navy. But the point I'm trying to make is that Skand had this Navy, which has been formulated as the reason for the name of those countries, all of them lumped together as being Scandinavia, Scandinavia. Otherwise, where did the word Skand come from? You don't see it. I've looked at it to say, where does the word Skand come from? There's a lot of Viking names Skand, but nowhere else. And where is the word Navia? The only place you see it is in Sanskrit when they're talking about Kartikeya, Skand, and his navy. So that's one thing. Hmm. In Scandinavia, in those years back then, there was a strong Hindu influence and a strong Buddhist influence. Now, don't forget, this was way, way, way before the Christian era. There were no Christians at the time, but there were Buddhists and there were Hindus, both fighting with each other to try to have the local people become either Hindus or Buddhists. And there's a book, Hinduism or Buddhism in pre-Christian Britain. Mm-hmm. And it's a fascinating book that people, our listeners, may want to read. But when you talk about Scandinavia at that time, they took with them the words of the days of the week. So you say, well, why were the days? Then there's an article by Nilesh Oak, O-A-K, called Origin of Weekday Names. And in that, he talks about why did the world pick 7 days to be a week? And it came from the Indian influence, because that's how they had it in India. And why did they have Sunday named after sun, moon day or Monday named after the moon, and so on. So at that time, Nilesh Oak gives a very fascinating article that talks about why these planets are in that fashion. So let's go through that very quickly. So sun is in Sanskrit called Aditya, and the Sunday in Sanskrit is Ravi, which is also a name of sun, Ravivar or Adityavar. Moon is Som, and Somvar is Monday in Sanskrit. Mars is Mangal, and so it's Mangalvar. Now, Wednesday, Budvar, is fascinating. Bud is also another name for Mercury. But in Scandinavia, Buddha is called Woden.
Mm.
You've heard of the god or god Odin in Scandinavia?
Thor's father.
So Thor's father, Odin.
Yeah.
Now, Odin is really Buddha. And the reason it is because Buddha in a lot of places in India, in Sanskrit, is called Bodin, Buddhin.
Mm-hmm.
Bodin is a name also. So when that came to India, to Scandinavia, he was initially known as Buddhin, became Woden, became Woden, and then Odin.
Right.
So Woden's day is Wednesday. Hmm. Wednesday is Woden's day, which is Budvar, which is Mercury. And Guruvar is Thursday. Guru is Jupiter. And Shukravar is Venus. And that was Friday. And Shani is Saturn, Saturday, which is Saturn's day. Now, in Scandinavia, they put all those same words and they put tag at the end. So in the Scandinavian languages, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, tag means day. So they called it Vodentag, which is Wednesday. They called it Sontag. Son is the sun. Montag. Now, there was, I don't have it written down here. Oh, by the way, this is, a lot of this is written in a book by Count Bjornstjerna. Now, Count Bjornstjerna is a count who is Swedish, and this book is called The Theogony of the Hindus. Philosophy and cosmology of this. When we were in Sweden, I went to the main national library, and I asked for this. He's written two books, more than two books, all about the origin of the Hindus and the theogony and the fact that there was so much influence in the Scandinavian countries on this. Now, both the books I mentioned, Pocock, as well as this one about Jesus and Krishna, and this one about the Hindus, is not written by Indians. One is written by a Britisher, one is written by a Swede, and one is written by an American. So they're not pushing anything, they're just mentioning facts. So in the Scandinavian countries, each one of those names of Friday, Frey was a beautiful woman, so it was named Freitag. Wednesday was Wodenstag. Saturday was, I think, Saturtag. I'm not sure. But these were names of days that were influenced by the Sanskrit origins. The origins of their religion in those days, the initial sacred books that they have were called the Eddas. Now, people look to say, what are the Eddas? They're the remnants and little scraps that people wrote down having to do with the Vedas. But when my nephew went to Scandinavia on a business trip, I had told him this story, and he said, come on, get out of here, that's not. And he said, he sat down in at a bar, and he was having a drink, he was talking to the bartender, and the bartender started talking to him about India and asked questions about India. And then my nephew said, you know what my uncle told me? He said, very silly thing. He says, he told me this. And the bartender, the Scandinavian bartender, said, hey, your uncle's not being silly. He says, we are taught this in school. Yeah. So to me, that was surprising. I didn't know that the Scandinavians know this or they're taught this in school. Because a lot changed after the advent of Christianity and how the Scandinavians became Christians. Well, that's a whole other story.
In the Western world, we don't teach much history before Christ. We basically, I mean, except for the Roman Empire, I guess. And I mean, and that wasn't that much before Christ.
That's right.
And, you know, the Greeks and the Egyptians, perhaps. But we don't teach a lot of history before Christ.
Yeah.
So we're not aware of these influences.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more on these field trips, but we have still 11 chapters to go through in the Gita from 7 to 18. So we got to get back to class. Enough of these field trips for now.
All right.
But friends, if you find these field trips of interest and you have comments or criticisms, please do write to me and let me know. I would love to hear some feedback.
All right. And back to chapter 7 when we meet next time.
Yes. Yes, thank you again so much, friends.